Hello, and welcome to The Happiest of Hours, presented by Mox & Cox. This podcast is part of our journey to share experiences in the world where drinkers, alcohol-free folks, and the sober curious can coexist. We started our mission to create a space where everyone gets to have the same experience, regardless of what's in their glass, to show people it's okay to go out into the world, to the same events, and have the same great time.
We know how that looks different for everyone. Everyone is different. We just want to stop making it weird.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we're Mox & Cox. Morning, Bridget.
Good morning, Katie.
How are you today on this fine morning?
So good.
So good. I feel like I just saw you.
How are you? I did. I feel like I just saw you too.
We did just see each other.
We did. That used to be more normal occurrence.
Yeah. We beat that dead horse, so we're done.
Oh, really?
We're done. We're going to leave that horse alone.
Oh.
Remember? We talked about the horse with the dust.
I just read a book about that. Yeah, dummy. It was in our book club. We both just read that book about the dead horse.
That was so fun. How did that work?
I don't know. We did just talk about that, though.
We did. This is now the third time we've talked. The first time we talked about it was... Kristen Hannah's The Four Winds, and spoiler alert,
there is a dead horse.
The favorite dead horse gets its stomach, like the stomach is bloated with dust. It's about the dust bowl,
right? It's about the dust bowl.
The stomach is bloated with dust, and they stab it right in the stomach, and it poofs with dust. I don't know what we were talking about.
Katie probably said something about a dead horse. And I was like, oh my God, I just read a book about a dead horse. And she's like,
we were in the same book club.
She's like, well, yeah.
It was my book pick. We literally had just finished it. It's like, welcome back, Cotter. Like,
where are you? Anyway. Welcome so every time we talk about so welcome. But every time we talk about dead horses, we're like, yeah, but that Kristen Hannah book.
Did you read that book? It's super good. Yes, Bridget, we both read it at the same exact time.
And it was really good.
It was. Kristen Hannah's my favorite.
She's amazing. If you haven't read The Nightingale,
It's so good. In the Winter Garden.
Oh, so good. She's a tremendous author.
Yeah.
She's a tremendous honor. Anyway, welcome, everybody.
Welcome to The Happiest of Hours. We're your hosts, Bridget and Katie.
We took a long way to get here today, but hi.
Every time. It takes a little bit longer.
It's because of who we are as people.
And we are who we are.
Yeah.
I'm Katie. I am the mocktail to the Mox and Cox, which is nothing dirty. It's just mocktails and cocktails.
I'm Bridget. I'm the cocktail. Katie almost spit out her coffee for that one. I am the cock of the Mox and Cox, but it's none dicks. It's cocktails because I still imbibe and Katie does not.
We started Mox and Cox about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening to this in 2030.
The year now is 2023.
We started in 2022, which if you're listening to this in 2030, we only have 2 years left.
We've only committed through 2032 to Mox and Cox, which I think is a hell of a commitment.
It is.
It's the longest commitment I've made.
Well, we're not there yet. We're 1/10 of the way there. That's pretty good, though.
Good, yeah.
That's pretty good. 10%.
Yeah. And when your voice goes out at the end, like you're looking at it like, that's good. Like, we're doing good, right?
I mean, the meter, you know, like we're 10% on the meter.
Yeah.
We should get one of those little thermometer things.
We totally shouldn't just look colored in red. Blood red.
And then like we could start at red and like go up to like yellow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It weirdly ends at green. We don't know why. Green means go.
Green means go. Actually, it should be the other way. We should start at green and go stop.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Full stop.
The Happiest of Hours was created. I'm going to let Bridget do this. She's much better at her elevator pitch.
So the Happiest of Hours came along about halfway into our first year of Mox and Cox because, well, we wanted another platform to sort of get the message out to the universe. Katie's
the elevator pitch I'm asking for is the message.
Right. Look, are you going to do this or am I going to do this?
Go on.
I'm leaving this in, by the way.
We are who we are, Bridget. Go on. Jesus, this is the longest intro ever. This has been 6 minutes of nada.
It'll be good for Tracy in Wisconsin. You don't need, do you need all the foot room in the
on my drywall desk? This is not as big as my other desk where you were like not within arm's reach.
We are snuggled up in Katie's new office.
It's going to be very swanky when it's done.
Anyway, as I was saying before I was repeatedly interrupted, so the Happiest of Hours was born out of the desire to expand our messaging capabilities to reach people to try and make this not drinking not weird in the world. And when Katie stopped drinking well over a year ago now, we wanted to show people that we were able to go out to establishments, to events, and have the same great time regardless of what was in our glass. You know, we were able to navigate that at different restaurants with mocktail menus. We had started being intentional about taking non-alcoholic products to events. We even found non-alcoholic cinnamon whiskey for cheersing at events. But the point was that we could show the world that you could have the same time whether or not you were drinking alcohol.
Women's wear.
Fourth floor.
Floor 692.
Anyway, it has been an absolute trip. We love doing the podcast. We laugh really hard.
We wheeze.
Snort. We snort. But anyway, it was just another way to expand our message to the world that make it less weird on everybody to have products that are available to everybody regardless of whether or not they are drinking alcohol, because on any given day there are 522 billion different reasons why somebody does not want to have an alcoholic drink, and we should not be making them the odd man out.
For sure. It's all about inclusivity.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, which it should be easier than that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem, there is not a parity at this point, but it should be easier. Yeah. And we love every time somebody sends us a new non-alcoholic menu, everybody sends us, you know, new recipe ideas, or they see a news article, and that is really exciting every single time. We want to get to that point where it is just the same.
Yeah.
Where you're ordering off the same menu, that you get to go in and have your drinks in the same glass. You know, you're not getting club soda with a lime in a Pepsi glass or a Coca-Cola glass. You are getting the same, you know, great looking cocktail regardless of whether or not it is alcoholic or non-alcoholic, because honest to God, the alcohol is the cheapest thing in your drink. So putting the same amount of effort into a cocktail or a mocktail should be the standard.
Yeah. But what we've learned, I would say, in the last year since we've started this, is while this is about mocktails and cocktails, which happens to be a tool in lots of people's toolbox that don't drink anymore, it's really about opening up the conversation, mm-hmm. which we continue to have the conversation that drinking or not drinking is just a tough thing to talk about.
Oh, for sure.
It's just so ingrained in our society that if you make a lifestyle choice to not drink anymore, you automatically have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we are trying to change that conversation because mm-hmm. it's just simply not true anymore. I don't know if it was true ever.
I don't know if it was true ever either, because I know a lot of people my parents' age who had never even started.
Right.
Regardless of whether or not they thought they would have a problem, they just never started.
Right. But I'm guessing at one point or another, if they told people they don't drink, it was assumed that they had a problem. Not that they never started, that they just had a problem.
That is always the assumption. If somebody says that I don't drink, the assumption is always, it is always because they had a problem of some sort, which is really interesting because we've learned especially over the last year, how many different reasons there have been. My favorite, of course, is I don't drink for athletic reasons.
It's my favorite.
Like, it's not even close. Like, that yeah. is the freaking best one, period.
Whoever said that to me at the Miggy's event, please reach out to us.
Yeah, hero.
Because you
hero status in our world.
Deserve a trophy. Yep. We will send you a Mox & Cox trophy.
Yeah, we will. Or a Yeti.
Or a Yeti that you can put.
Yeah, it'll be a trophy or a Yeti. But that truly is easily my favorite, and it isn't even close. But we have found over the last year how many different reasons there are, and only like a fraction of them are health related. There's also all of
or
these
substance abuse or related.
Right, any of those. Like, there's just so many different layers to why somebody may or may not want to drink on a given day. I mean, we had an event this week. It was 100 degrees at 6 o'clock at night with 90% humidity, and everybody and their brother asked me if I wanted a drink, and I drank a gallon and a half of water because that was all you could do. Like, there was just not, like, it was not, I don't wanna.
Yeah.
And I don't like it's there's
you
that's
just
okay.
Don't wanna.
You just don't wanna. That was not, it wasn't health related. It wasn't athletic reasons. It was hot. It was hot out.
Yeah.
I did not want to drink because it was hot. Like, that's the why. And there are 552 billion different whys. Or how you often talk about how the second you have that pregnancy test, you are now a sober person.
Yeah. You go from like you piss on a stick and now you're sober.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that. And so, and any given, you don't know if somebody has an early pregnancy that they can't talk about. That has bitten a lot of people.
For sure.
Like, people who do.
Myself.
Right. Who have no interest in telling somebody many weeks ahead of where they wanted to.
For sure.
Because they are being forced into a conversation because.
Well, and it's also, if it's not, did you have a problem? It's, are you pregnant?
Right.
It doesn't, I mean.
And also.
You could be 60 years old and somebody's like, oh, are you pregnant?
But still, but still stop asking people that.
Please.
Please stop asking people that. Stop asking people why they aren't drinking. Let people decide. If they look at you and they say, hey, I want this, that's the answer.
So that's kind of our mission. It's really part of our what we've learned is this might have started out as like a fun mocktails and cocktails. Let's go out and party together. Let's mm-hmm. make it the same experience. In addition to that, and what we've come to learn is it's very difficult to talk about
mm-hmm.
on a level that is non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary to be the odd man out.
Just for sure.
Period. It's scary to be the odd man out. And when you are, it feels like you're no longer part of a tribe. And on a visceral level, like a survivalist level, that is really scary.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is what keeps us in that loop, I think.
For sure.
Fear and shame.
Fear of change in general. Like, if you make this decision, hey, I can't do this today, I'm not doing this today, you know, at this point in the society that we're in, somebody is going to make that weird.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to ask you. Somebody's going to push. Somebody's going to.
Well, somebody's going to judge.
Right. It'll one step further than you wanted it to be. And that's really hard.
Yeah.
The freedom to decide is what we want for the world.
Just freedom.
Freedom. Like just having the freedom to decide what you want to do on a given day without it being weird. That's all we want.
I think this also goes for. We have tens of guests out here. It's my favorite thing to say. We have tens of guests out here that are not questioning their drinking, that have no interest in talking about quitting drinking or cutting back or whatever. And that's totally fine.
Nope, that's great.
This is not what we're here for, is some sort of preaching way to tell you not to drink anymore.
No, God, no. I still drink.
Yeah.
That's not the focus.
The focus is that you can definitely make a decision on your own. We're here if you want to make that decision. But also, this, so many of these guidelines, rules, things we talk about apply to so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Overeating. Mm-hmm. Like all the things that you might want to change about yourself to make your self the best version, a lot of the things we talk about can be applied.
Absolutely. But also, it isn't necessarily the thing that we are here to tell you how to not do something. It is also to give you the perspective of stop making it weird for other people who aren't.
Yeah.
Like that. That's just as important.
I mean, but so many things.
Well, right.
Right. Like if somebody doesn't eat sugar anymore, yeah. Just like, okay.
Okay.
Here's some cool. Sugar-free gummies.
Right. All you- One of my favorite phrases that my mom used to use too, in addition to knowing your audience, because that's a big one.
I think we've established our audience.
We've talked about that a lot. Knowing your audience is huge. But one of her other ones, because I was probably
four,
inserting myself where I ought not be, but keep your nose on your own face.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really solid piece of advice. Keep your nose on your own face.
And this is why we're in therapy. Because we skin cats. We skin the bunny. So my sister and I were talking the other day, and she thinks that it's like she loves the there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah.
She's like, it's just like, oh, it's so gross. It's like so when you queasy. Break it down, yep. Right? Yep. But our parents also told us to skin the bunny. Mm. Did you ever have this?
Not once, okay. Not ever.
So when we were children, we were told to skin the bunny when we were changing into our pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
So like, hold your hands up and you take your shirt off, and that's skinning the bunny.
Oh my, how traumatizing.
So it was kind of a term of endearment when we were kids. And of course, my sister, brother, and I all used it on our kids, right? Like, skin the bunny. And our kids, if I said to Miles and Madeline right now, skin the bunny, both their arms would go straight up in the air.
Wow.
Right? Because that's how you skin a bunny, actually.
I didn't need to know that. I didn't need to know that. We weren't really that kind of outdoorsy.
We also weren't. We were just simply changing into matching pajamas.
We didn't have that sort of reference.
But also, keep your nose on your own face does give you a visual of like taking your nose off and putting it in somebody else's business.
Right.
So these are so Wisconsin.
These are so good. But anyway, my point is, it's really good advice. Keeping your nose on your own face is...
Whether you're asking for it or not,
right.
It's great advice.
Yeah. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. That's good advice. You know, League of Their Own is
good
full
advice.
Of,
good
League
advice.
Of Their Own is full of words of wisdom. You can hear them in many of our episodes. But yeah, I think keeping your nose on your own face is super good advice, because at the end of the day, whatever somebody else is doing is none of your goddamn business.
It's true.
So if they don't want to drink that day, they don't want to eat sugar that day. Today I'm not off, you know, today I'm not eating bread, and tomorrow I might.
Yeah. Right.
Let's not, like,
the other thing is
stop making that weird.
You don't have, if you decide to quit drinking forever,
mm-hmm.
Cool. But if you decide to quit drinking for 1 6-hour stretch.
Yeah.
Also cool.
Also cool.
Like, sometimes there's an all-day event where you start at 11 o'clock and don't end until 11 o'clock, and you can take a 6-hour break.
You sure can.
Like, here's your permission slip. I don't know where we got ahead of ourselves where we're now asking for permission from other people to drink or not drink. But
when it became somebody else's business, whatever you did in life.
Yeah. So many things, though.
Society, man.
This is a real sociology project.
It is.
Yeah.
I think that a lot. So there's this new rule.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to allow like Big Ten schools to start serving beer.
Oh, I did see. I don't ever watch the news or read anything about this, but
that did pop up
on my feed today that hockey and basketball games is in
the
UW.
Yeah, at the University of Wisconsin is now going to start serving beer at college.
What was the first thing that came into your mind about that?
I thought that was a really bad idea.
Why?
So I think that that's an interesting question. I think it's actually more interesting that I thought it.
Yeah. That you thought that answer.
Yeah.
Like your response.
Yeah. Well, my response, because I.
Probably a year ago, you would have had a different response.
I don't know. I want to say yes, probably. But I've been thinking about this a lot overnight.
Like I've, for the last 4 hours,
for at least the last 12, I've been thinking about this at least for the last 12 hours because I had a very immediate response to it. And it wasn't, hockey and basketball, fine. Like you're probably going to do that. My fear is then they're going to gen pop Camp Randall.
Oh, they have to.
And I think at some point they will do that. The previous chancellor had been able to kind of hold off on that, and she's no longer with us.
Could we, for our tens of listeners that aren't from Wisconsin, mm-hmm. can you give us a little bit of background
sure.
about Camp Randall, Wisconsin, UW,
yes.
Badgers?
Yes. So the University of Wisconsin-Madison has been a top three party school in the United States for as long as I have known what a party school is. And, you know, right behind Arizona State. And so it's one of those things. So we are a very active party school. And Badger Saturdays, especially at football, which we play in a stadium called Camp Randall, is an aggressive level of partying. Mm-hmm. And
by partying, you mean
drinking. Yep. And
because you can party without drinking.
You can party, which we are showing the world, especially at our tailgates. We have all of the options for people. But, you know, college students in general are routinely removed from the stadium for being too drunk.
Yeah, there's like a mobile detox center.
Yep. Which I don't know if that's a thing everywhere, but that is a thing here. And Camp Randall holds
like a great
tens,
business idea.
Totally does. Camp Randall holds tens of thousands of people.
Like 80,321 people.
That is a lot. So
it is
over 80,000 people. So yeah, I did not
I love
realize
that I was right about that.
Yeah, me too. Same. Because
no,
you go to, yeah, I do. Love it. Love it. My face says I love it. No, that's an exceptional amount of people. But 80,000 people. Of course there are not all of them you know, behaving in a certain sort of way, you know, 30 beers in. But there is the propensity for people who had not previously been getting completely schnockered in that setting to now be doing so at levels unseen.
Well, and we're not there yet. They're not serving yet.
No. So but that was my immediate response. So my immediate response was, when I saw that basketball and hockey in Wisconsin had gone to, we're going to start serving alcohol at games, I was like, man.
It's not far.
It is going to be, you know, it won't be far behind before Camp Randall gets on that train too. Mm-hmm. And
I'm not familiar with this. Are there a lot of college stadiums like Camp Randall that do serve alcohol?
Yes.
Okay. It's interesting that Wisconsin has held off for as long as they have.
Basically because
we are untrusted.
I think that there has been a real reason behind it. So I think that there is. So don't get me wrong. I do drink. I do drink on Badger Saturdays. And I also have had the opportunity to do it inside the stadium. You know, in suites you can drink and things like that. You know, we've got this brand new South End Zone that serves alcohol. So there has been the opportunity. So it isn't that
But it's confined.
It is confined. So I understand that it kind of makes me a hypocrite because I do drink there. And I do drink a lot ahead of it, and like we do have a lot of
you can
fun
be two things
that.
At once, Bridget.
And as it turns out, I can, because I felt very strongly about it, because with the way that our numbers are currently in terms of like having to remove people from the stadium, putting that access out to the general public to another 60,000 people, I mean, even Packer games are not as insane as what Camp Randall is on a Saturday.
Well, and also, it's not 21 and over. All of Camp Randall is not 21 and over.
Correct.
Which means that there's going to be high schoolers,
yep,
young kids. I mean, younger. Mm-hmm. I mean, this makes us sound so old.
It does. But so, like the student section at Camp Randall is such a thing already.
Yeah.
That, and what is to stop them from buying it for the 20-year-old next to them?
Or
and,
the 17-year-old. Right. Or the, right.
It's just. Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
It is.
It's not there yet. But your point,
my point is
they start with basketball and hockey as a experiment, mm-hmm, and see where that goes.
Right. Which is going to show that it's fine because it's.
Because it's a different crowd.
100% different
crowd.
It's
indoors. And it's winter.
And it's 2 hours. And people aren't tailgating ahead of it.
Right. Well, they might be, but.
But they're not.
Yeah. Like, I mean, not. It's just not the same.
It's not. People aren't. People aren't. They aren't going in fully lubed and then buying a whole bunch more.
Yeah. I mean, I think
in a basketball
it's just
game,
a,
it's not
it's
going
a different
to...
culture. I think that there are many, many people that go to football games. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know. I'm not a football. I like football, but I'm not like a diehard fan. But I've been to many basketball and many, many, many hockey games in my lifetime. And it just seems like a different vibe.
It's 100% a different vibe.
It's just like the people that are going to those games, mm-hmm, care about the games. Whereas maybe a quarter of the people at the football games really care about the game, mm-hmm, right? Like they're there for the culture. They're there for the tradition of it. They're there for the pastime.
Mm-hmm. They're there to be with their people. They're there.
Right.
To, you
Do
know.
They care about the actual? I don't know. It just it just seems like a different vibe to me. So if they're trying to prove a point, and by they, so my first inclination was the money.
Mm-hmm.
That was my mm-hmm first when I saw it come across my Facebook feed this morning that they were going. They've now passed this whatever it is, mm-hmm, right? I don't know. Is it an ordinance or is it like a
policy?
Policy that they were going to start serving at the Kohl Center.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that crossed my mind was, wow, they're going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's what this is about.
For
it has
sure
nothing to do with anything else.
No,
really.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
it comes down to money.
I mean, the athletic department in general, like that's the goal. And
yeah,
it's, I mean
there
it's
are,
every athletic
a business,
department. That's,
right. Yep. Like they are a private business or not private, public, whatever. But like they
are a business and that's their job. And that's the job of every single one of the athletic departments at every level, everywhere, is to ensure that they have enough money to have the best program that they can.
Absolutely.
And if this is another way to ensure that their athletes get what they need, then they'll do it. And that's fine. But it's not without risk.
It's not without risk and it's not without, I don't know, it just kind of makes me feel icky.
It's interesting.
Well, here's
it's interesting.
Because this
I don't
is
know
big
that
alcohol,
I...
right? Like this is, it's big alcohol. Of course, there's lobbyists and there's companies out there pushing for this, right? Like they've wanted the Kohl Center and Camp Randall because that just brought them 150,000 new customers.
Yep.
Literally. Like a caged in demographic, mm-hmm, that is their ultimate demographic, mm-hmm, which is a young college student at a football game, mm-hmm, right? Like that's,
yep,
that's
everybody's gonna make a lot of money. And it is interesting because I don't know that I would have felt this way before.
Yeah,
I think it, but the more
but
that,
that's because it's just not a conversation that people have.
Correct.
It's just like,
I mean, I think that even having this conversation now is going to throw people off and be like, okay, well, get off that soapbox.
You mean for us, like,
mm-hmm,
like people listening?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I think, I mean, we've been thrown off many soapboxes behind our back. I'm pretty sure. That's okay though. I just feel like this is one of those conversations that.
Like, we're just supposed to be okay with it. Like it's.
Yes, it is like that. I am a total conspiracy theorist in my heart. But I don't think that this is necessarily a theory. Like, I don't think that this is necessarily like a unfounded conspiracy. Like, this is actually what happens. And whether or not you talk about it or believe it or whatever, it is reality. And so burying your head in the sand and being like, oh, well, they're doing the best for us and they're providing the service for us at a football game or a hockey game or a pastime that I'm into is not about you. It's about them making mm-hmm. money.
Yeah. They're not providing you anything. This isn't about you.
Now, do I serve alcohol at my establishments?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm still a business owner. It's still the biggest markup there is. Mm-hmm. I mean, does that make me a hypocrite? Maybe. It also makes me a solid business owner. Mm-hmm. Like there, you can be two things at once.
Yep.
I think that you can believe two things. It's not even believing one way or the other for me.
Understanding it
and just pushing the envelope a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just having the conversation is more than most people have.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about.
Right.
We are talking about.
It's not that I wouldn't buy a beer in Camp Randall. I absolutely would. It's about having the conversation of, should I? Not should I in general. Should we be able to do that? Is that ultimately cool?
Or just questioning.
Or just even having the conversation.
Just even questioning. This isn't a service they're providing for you.
Right.
It's a service they're providing for themselves.
Correct.
So, like Snickers, mm-hmm. like coffee,
mm-hmm.
they have addictive substances in them that make you want to eat and drink and do more. So it's just questioning the man. That's right. It.
It's funny. There was a reel on Instagram. Some comedian was talking about conspiracy theories in general. And he's like, I understand not being a conspiracy theorist, but not believing any conspiracy theories. You just think that the government's telling you the truth 100% of the time. Like that's that. And I thought that was a really good question. Like none. Like nuns? Like I get that. Like I am not a conspiracy theorist by nature. Not in the same way that others are. But to believe none?
Yeah.
Like you think that they are just batting 1,000.
Yeah.
In everything that has ever been told to you.
And that they're doing it for you.
And that they're doing it for you. And so I think it is okay.
Not even government.
No, but that's
not
but
all
that,
government.
Right, but that's my point. It is always okay to question.
Yeah.
Always and okay to ask the question.
Look at it in a different light and also imbibe.
Right. Like you can be like two things at once. I can go buy a beer at Camp Randall if they ever start selling them and also question, is this like the best interest of like Madison, Wisconsin today? Or no. And I can do both of those. I can do two things at once. I can walk and chew gum.
For sure. I think that's, I love that we got on this topic.
It's just a super fascinating.
I love it because I have always, it's interesting to me because I have always questioned alcohol and still drank a lot. Mm-hmm. So like since we've talked about this before, since I've been 14 years old and took my first drink, I knew I probably shouldn't be doing it
mm-hmm.
and still did it
mm-hmm.
for 30 years mm-hmm. almost. So for that, I think that's where the conflict comes in, right? Like that's where, you know, following your values and like listening to that little gut thing and also ignoring it. Basically, and also burying your head in the sand or also like being so scared of how that's going to disrupt, how that opinion and or belief is going to disrupt your life around you and not being able to talk about it with anybody because you feel like you can't be two things at once because somebody's mm-hmm. going to turn around and say, well, fucking hypocrite. You can't say, I'm scared about my drinking. And then also go out and have a glass of wine.
Right.
Like you can be two things. You can start to question your drinking and continue to drink. Like there's no it's really just having the conversation.
Right. And really, well, and there's no same path for everybody.
There, it's so not linear.
Yeah.
And for linear people like myself, mm-hmm. it's very, very difficult mm-hmm. to live in that gray area and be two things at once. And just having this conversation. Now, will somebody look at you, listen to this podcast and say, well, you said that, and now you're going to buy a beer at the hockey game?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say,
yep.
the fuck I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
because I can have the conversation.
Right. You are confident enough to have the freaking conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to build here, mm-hmm. I think.
Just make it okay to talk about everything. Stop making it weird.
Yeah. It doesn't. And
it doesn't. It can. Everybody. We all do better when we all do better.
Right.
And we all do better the more we know. Having. Having the conversation.
The more you know.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man.
The more you know.
Was that NBC?
Yeah. Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
The more you know.
No, that was great. I still use that GIF all the time. but it's true, because the more that you talk about things, the more you know, the more you learn.
Well, the less shame.
Right. Because it's okay to have a conversation.
Yeah.
I am a very solid Badger Saturday drinker.
Yeah,
that is true.
Congratulations.
No, I mean, good for you, not for me. No, I mean, that is true. I can still take a step back and say, I don't like, is that the best path? And okay, maybe it is. And maybe they'll study it, and maybe they'll find out that, you know, the dozens of kids that are thrown out of every game didn't have an uptick.
Yeah,
with this. But I still think it's okay to ask.
Yeah. I think questioning
things is always going to be okay in terms of policy shifts like that. The only thing I don't want you to question is somebody else's choices.
Yeah. Like yours.
Like mine.
If you decide.
You can question.
Yeah, we can start with Bridget. Yeah. You just don't judge Bridget's decision.
Yeah, just don't judge me. Like, we can question policy choices. You can question law changes. You can question all of these things. You just don't get to question somebody's choices personally as they are making them, because it's none of your business. Public policy,
with a caveat, there are times, out of love mm-hmm. and compassion, that it is okay to question.
Sure, but let's not use that as a blanket, like, well, I was just concerned when you went into Camp Randall and bought something that you just said that you shouldn't.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying
I completely agree.
Yeah. If you're, you know, if you have concern or like, it's okay to start the conversation. I think that that's really what we're trying to get to. And there was something you said before sparked a thought that was from a long time ago of you started this with me. You started Mox and Cox with me mm-hmm. and there was fear that you weren't going to drink again.
That's correct.
That, Your Honor. That's correct. I just pictured you sitting in, like, in front of a congressional.
That's correct. I actually leaned forward to do it too. That's correct.
But you can do, and I think we've proven, you can do two things at once, right? We can have this conversation and you can still go out drinking with your friends without. Yep. Now, does that make you an anomaly? Maybe. Like, some mm-hmm. of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the more we open up the conversation, the easier it will be. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, that's sort of our goal, is let's just talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like,
just changing the conversation.
Just having starting it. Starting it.
Yeah.
I one of the fears I always had is if I said I was scared of my drinking, I was nervous that it was getting out of hand, that the next time I picked up a drink, somebody would say, well, you just said that, and how can you do this now? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a shame spiral. And it's also, I mean, alcohol is addictive. Mm-hmm. So let's also talk about that, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's not, it's a different substance than most, right? It is a drug. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. if you don't believe that, that's not a conspiracy. That's actually science. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know that we need to get into like that part of it, but I just, all I want to say is you can be two things at once. You can reach out and say, geez, I think I may be questioning this, and then go out and have a drink. And maybe not forever, but if you're questioning it, you're probably never going to stop questioning it. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Because it took a different turn than I thought it was going to. Like, just having the conversation is super important, or having the ability to have the conversation, not necessarily even if you're questioning it, just to be able to freely say, everybody gets to be everybody. You do you, boo.
Yeah, my point to that is, if you're questioning your drinking mm-hmm. at all, mm-hmm. it's okay to say something to somebody.
Oh, heck
and
yeah.
if it needs to be me or you or whatever, mm-hmm. that's fine. The conversation is the place it needs to start.
Yeah.
That's all.
Just having the freedom to have conversations yeah. is all we want in the world.
That's it.
About anything.
Alcohol just happens to be in the news.
Yeah. Like a lot. Like a lot.
Like so much.
Like, what? I mean, I wonder what the aliens think about that.
Oh my God.
But one of my favorite parts about this whole alien thing.
What alien thing?
The fact that they have confirmed that they exist.
What do and they
everybody,
look like?
And everybody's like, well, yeah.
What do they look like?
I don't know.
Yeah. So nobody. What? Who confirmed it?
People.
Who?
The government. the same people that had been denying it.
What is it? What is an alien? What does it look like?
Look, lady.
No, not look lady.
I don't know what it looks like. I mean, I haven't. That's actually not the point I'm trying to make here, though.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
Thanks.
Go on.
No, go on.
I mean, I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I do not believe it.
I think that it would be foolish to not believe that there is something out there.
Out where?
Out in the universe.
Like Black Earth?
There's definitely aliens in Black Earth. No, there is not some other intelligent life outside of Earth.
I am not denying that.
You literally just did.
No.
Moments ago.
I
roll the tape back.
I don't deny that there isn't life out there mm-hmm. wherever.
You just don't think they've come
here. I don't believe some 50-year-old white dude found it in the government.
Oh,
like the only person that's ever found an alien is in the government. In the United States.
I don't think that that's the case. I think that was the person who had to sit in the hearing.
And the hearing. We had a hearing.
We had a congressional hearing.
Oh, that's correct.
That's what I think is so interesting. Like we find out that aliens exist and almost nobody blinks. Like people are so wrapped up in so many other things that are happening in the world and themselves and all of this stuff that they tell you that aliens exist and people are like, well, yeah, all right. But it's hot out. Have we talked about how hot it is out? Anyway, all that to say.
Aliens do exist.
No. Anyway, all that to say, like, let people be. Keep your nose on your own face. And
this is not the last time we're going to talk about this.
This is not. But I mean, it's a fascinating conversation.
The fascinating part of this conversation is you and I sitting here, most likely when we turn off the mics today, we're going to look at each other and say, ooh, that's going to be a hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of turning off the mics, we're going to talk about it.
That's actually really funny. That's 100%. I knew it as soon as we started, but as soon as we get off this, I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
This is going to be a thing.
It's going to be a thing.
And I'm going to have to answer for it. And
yeah, when you get close to this stuff, close to home, it hits nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Even
when that isn't the intention. The intention is
yeah,
to
your
just
intention
have,
doesn't matter.
Right. Nobody, it never does.
Nobody's intention matters.
Like that is not the intention. The intention is to have the conversation and be like, just to take a step back and be like,
somebody is going to take this personally.
Yes.
Based on their experiences.
Yes.
And not just this particular conversation that we've had for the last 30 minutes. any conversation that gets a little bit too close to disrupting somebody mm-hmm. else's experiences, mm-hmm. livelihood, mm-hmm. Traditions,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The values that they hold dear. And that might be because a tradition is wrapped up in how people celebrate, what their family dynamic looks like, all of those things wrapped up. When you start questioning it, when you start just poking the bear a little bit, it's somehow going to turn personal, which it's never been intended to. It has just been a way for us to start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so turning off the mic and looking at each other and saying, ooh, this is, and we've done this a number of times. We have turned off the mics a number of times and said, ooh, should we cut that? Do we post this? Do we? And
the answer is always yes. It's always yes.
Because the only way that this works is if we're authentic mm-hmm. about it.
The only way that we get to start a conversation is to start the conversation. And if it means that we have to be uncomfortable and we have to take that out in the world,
and then we have the yikes emojis mm-hmm. later
yep.
when you're editing it, when you're
and the high pitch. And yeah, and sometimes the only way you grow is to be uncomfortable.
Yes.
And this is going to be this. I know this one is going to be uncomfortable because this one is going to hit home. And it's still worth having the conversation, because even if this is the right thing, this is the right path, this is great, blah, 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 whatever, it's still okay to have the conversation.
Yeah. And it's still okay to question it.
Yep.
And also participate.
Yes.
Like,
you can be two
things
at once.
You don't have to be some kind of martyr.
Right.
It just,
you can just still question it.
Yeah. Questioning stuff as you get older and wiser is the only way you grow.
Yep.
And making a decision based on your experiences and your set of values, whether they change outside of the experiences you've had with other people in the past, it's just, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still going to turn off the mics and stare at each other.
100%. 100%. But one of the best parts about all of this is we also learn every day. We are not an expert in anything. Like, this is us navigating this world with everybody else.
Yeah. And there just aren't that many people talking about alcohol.
No.
There just aren't. And
because it's
now we have learned in the last year how much more accepting restaurants, taverns, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. companies, there is a slide upward. That doesn't make sense. There's an upward trajectory.
Yes.
There's an upward climb mm-hmm. of companies doing it right. Just being more inclusive
mm-hmm.
Of a non-drinking population for mm-hmm. whatever reason that is. I would hope and pray and plead that the hockey games and the basketball games have some kind of non-alcoholic option.
Mm-hmm. That isn't soda.
That isn't soda or water.
Mm-hmm. No, that would be amazing.
It would be amazing if they brought Athletic in. I mean, you can now get Athletic from any distributor that mm-hmm. they're already getting booze from.
Mm-hmm.
It would be an interesting push.
It would. I mean, so while a lot of these places are doing really, really good things, a lot of these companies are doing really, really good things, you also have your Sunny D that are doing really, really shitty things.
And Mountain Dew.
But we're really excited about the evolution of all of these other places and establishments and making it less weird in the world. So yeah, we'll keep going.
We're going to keep removing.
We'll keep going. That was heavy-ish, but
they always start out real light.
we'll end it real light. We have a whole lot of really exciting things coming up. We're having our 1 year anniversary party coming up. We're pretty excited about that. And man,
are you so nervous?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I just want to, I want to wrap it up in a fun way, and I need it. We need to get back to fun. And
that's fun.
What's fun? You're fun.
You can have a conversation and still have fun.
Hell yeah.
You can be two things at once, Bridget.
You can be two things. Anyway, we are super excited about everything that we have coming up. We are super excited about our 1 year anniversary at Kendra Scott.
Yeah. Kendra Scott reached out. Yeah. And now we've got a 15% discount for anyone that comes into Kendra Scott.
Yeah. We are flipping excited about this and making some mocktails and hanging out with everybody. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And in the interim, you can find us on Facebook at Mox.Cox, on Instagram at Mox and Cox, on the interwebs at MoxandCox.com, where all of our Blue Light specials are, our free recipe book, and a really sweet store where you can check out all of our Mox and Cox boxes.
Yeah.
So until next week.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.